I actually hadn't paid rent for a couple months because I was putting that money into Facebook ads.
Today on the podcast, we've got Zeki Ahmed on the show. And Zeki has been on my Facebook friends for quite some time. He's somebody that I have followed on and off for quite some time as well. He's got a fantastic Facebook group, which I'm glad to be part of. It does provide me with a lot of interesting and fun times in there, to say the least. You've got a very unique style of marketing, haven't you, Zeki?
I would say so. A lot of people definitely say that.
Guys, this is Zeki. Zeki, will you just tell us more about yourself?
Yeah, for sure, man. For sure. I'll be happy to. So for those who don't know me, like Michael mentioned, I'm known by a lot of people for my Facebook group, which is called How to Start a Cult. So what my business is all about is I help people build their own cult-like audiences, mainly for selling information-based products. So that's whether you're, you know, a coach, consultant, affiliate marketer, selling courses, selling coaching, anything of that sort. That's really what my focus is on. Now, how I got started in the space and the reason that I chose to focus on this route that I took is I got started in entrepreneurship back in 2012. So it was a long time ago now. We're looking at over 10 years, basically. The whole time wasn't online. I actually got my start in MLM, in network marketing, with a company called ACN. This was a long time ago, back in my early 20s. And I was in that for maybe like a year and a half or so, but that kind of ignited my journey and my interest in entrepreneurship. So long story short, I'm not going to go through a whole 10-year journey here, but when I got started in the actual online space and got into the same world as, like, you know, where Michael would have found me and a lot of the people who are part of my group and so on and so forth, was back in 2018. And this was after I had to shut down an e-commerce business that I had prior. So I got in around 2016, 2017, I got caught up in the whole drop shipping wave. I know a lot of people still do drop shipping nowadays, but back then, I don't know if you were around at that time, Michael, if you'll have seen all those Facebook ads, but there used to be, you know, everyone was pushing the whole Shopify drop shipping thing, ordering things from China, and then drop shipping it on Shopify, running Facebook ads, all that kind of thing. So that's how I really got into this online space, was I got caught up in that whole wave. I started trying to build my own shop or drop shipping store. I was doing that for like a year and a half to 2 years. I didn't get to where I wanted to. I was usually breaking even on my ad spend, not just on the cusp of getting profitable and just putting more and more money into it, trying to figure out how to make it work, thinking that I was going to find that winning product that was just going to start selling like gangbusters. So I just kept putting more money and more money into ads until eventually in mid 2018, what happened was, this was after, again, a year and a half of trying to build this, or possibly even 2 years of trying to build it. I got to this point where I had to shut down the business because I had been spending so much money that I could not afford to spend on this dropshipping store, because I only knew how to run traffic with Facebook ads. And I didn't have a big budget because I was a university student, and students are typically notoriously broke. I was working a job at the time. I worked for a nonprofit organization, so I wasn't making a tremendous amount of money. And I didn't have, between the job I already had and, you know, my studies, I didn't have time to take on more work. And even if I did take on more work, I didn't have any qualifications that would allow me to land a job that would pay me anything more than maybe minimum wage. So it wasn't like I could just go out into the workforce and make a bunch of money. Now, the problem is, since I was swept up in this whole, you know, the dreaminess that entrepreneurs often have, and, you know, take all the risks and all that type of stuff, I'm very much, if you ask anyone in my family, I'm the least risk averse person you've ever met. So, and in my earlier 20s, I was way more of a risk taker than even now, because I wasn't married at that point. I had nobody else that really, I mean, yes, I had my younger siblings and they were relying on me, but still, I was young, dumb, and stupid is the best way I could put it, in a lot of ways. So I spent a bunch of money to the point that I actually hadn't paid rent for a couple months because I was putting that money into Facebook ads, and I hadn't paid my phone bill and I hadn't paid a bunch of other bills. So what happened in mid 2018 was, I got this letter from my landlord, and the top of the letter said, this is a legal notice that could lead to you being evicted from your home. And it gave me a date he the landlord had already booked a date in front of the board. So this is like a housing corporation or whatever, so they have their own system for it. But there was a date that I was supposed to go to court with him. We were going to go in front of the board, and either it was like 2 months out, I could pay all the money that I owed in rent up until that point, plus all the new rent that comes due, and then he would cancel the court date, or I would show up there and I'd be evicted. So obviously this was a very alarming letter to get. And it was very stressful, because this whole time, the reason, you know, I took that risk. I didn't pay rent for a couple of months because I thought every single week, like I put money into ads and I thought this week I'm going to get profitable. Didn't work out. Okay, it's fine, but I broke even. So I'm almost there. Next week I'll get profitable. And I kept doing the cycle until it got to the point where I owed him a couple grand. And I also owed a bunch of other money for other bills. And I didn't know what I was going to do, because I didn't have enough cash to get myself out of the situation. And I couldn't keep running Facebook ads. So because obviously, like, I needed the money just to keep myself afloat in my personal life. So I had to shut down all of my ads, which meant that now I had no traffic running to my e-commerce store, and the business was done. Basically, the business was shut down, and I had to also find a way to avoid the whole eviction and everything. Luckily, I managed to avoid that because I had some good friends who were willing to lend me some money. And I told them that I'll pay them by the end of that year. So we're looking in the summer. Right now, we're talking about the summer of 2018. I told them by December, I'm going to pay them back what I owed them. And I borrowed a couple grand to get myself out of this situation. So I managed to avoid the whole eviction. But now the issue that I had was I still had to figure out a way to start making money that I'll be able to pay my friends back by the time that I said I would pay them back. And I wasn't making enough money at my job. I couldn't take on more work. And even if I did take on more work, I knew that I wouldn't really make much money at whatever jobs I can get. So I figured I still have to do something online, but I can't do what I was doing before, because it can't be something where I have to, like, I need a big budget for. So I started looking into other things to try to do. And that's when the idea popped in my mind. Instead of selling physical products, why not switch to digital products? Things like courses or other stuff where it doesn't cost me money to source it from a supplier and then ship it to people. And then sometimes there's defects with the products and I have to order them another product. Sometimes they want returns and then I have to fund that. And there's all these other costs that go into dealing with physical products. I thought that, hey, you know, I've bought some online courses before. If I start selling something like this, then the only thing, if I have to spend any money, the only thing I'm going to spend money on are maybe like ads to get traffic. But then after that, it's all pretty much free. It doesn't cost me to deliver it to people. So that's when I started looking into that. I got this book. Probably a lot of people in your audience or who listen to this will be familiar with the book. It's by Russell Brunson, Expert Secrets. I don't remember how I came across it, probably a Facebook ad or something.
I said you got that one first. You got Expert Secrets before .com Secrets.
Yes, that is actually the first. So that Expert Secrets is actually my introduction into Russell Brunson's whole world. I got Expert Secrets first. And so I read that. And while I was reading the book, somewhere in the book, he mentioned something. I don't think he even called it by this name, but he mentioned how you can use the same marketing principles that you would use to sell your own product, but you can use it to sell somebody else's product, which for those who are savvy, who are familiar with this idea, we call it affiliate marketing. And when he talked about that, when he mentioned it, it was like a side point in one of the chapters. A light bulb flicked off in my mind, because the biggest problem that I had when I wanted to do this whole switch to digital products was I couldn't think of any course that I could create that people would actually want to buy that would be worthwhile for me to sell. Because up until that point, I didn't feel like I had any knowledge that was worth people spending money on. Like if I tried to create a course about business, the only thing I could teach people is how to fail in their business and get an eviction notice from their landlord. So I didn't feel like there was anything I can actually teach people. So when I read the book and I came across that concept, I was like, you know what, let me look a little bit more into this. Let me look at what this whole affiliate marketing thing is. I joined the affiliate bootcamp training they had. They had the first version. Now I know they reiterated it. And that got me into affiliate marketing. So to sum up the story, long story short, from that point, this all happened. Everything that I mentioned was like over the course of like a month, 2 months max. I got into affiliate marketing. My first month was really difficult because I tried to run Facebook ads again with a little bit of the money I had left over from my friends. And I didn't make any money off of that. So I just spent like another $800 and that was down the drain. But then from there, that forced me to switch into organic marketing. and to focus on trying to build an audience and reach people organically. And I started doing that. I was a part of some different Facebook groups for affiliate marketers where people were sharing things that were working for them. And they were sharing a lot of stuff to do with building an audience on Facebook and building an audience on social media. I started putting that stuff into practice and also had like closing sales and Messenger and stuff. And in my second month in affiliate marketing, I was very, very, very hungry too, because obviously I needed to get traction quickly. Putting that stuff into practice, I managed to hit my first $1,000+ in commissions. And then from there, I started my Facebook group, started building my own audience. 7 months, I think it was like seven, no, it wasn't 7 months. It was like five, 6 months. It was December of that year. It was when I got to that deadline where I had to pay my friends, but I still hadn't saved any money yet. I got really, really desperate and really worried. So I whipped up this campaign together and just started hustling really hard in that last month. And I managed to hit my first 10K month in December. So that was like 5 months, maybe five, 6 months or something like that. I think 5 months after I got into affiliate marketing. And then 2 months later, I quit my job in February of 2019. And since then, I've just been working for myself, built my business. I expanded beyond affiliate marketing. Now I sell my own stuff. But basically, that's what led me to where I am now, where I decided to put my focus really in helping people build their own audiences. Because for me, that was the key. That's the reason I've been able to leave my job back in early 2019, and haven't had to go back since, because I actually built my own audience. And that audience has continued to fuel my business till today. So that's why I'm very passionate about it. That's why that's my focus now, with helping with what I help other people do as well.
That's a lot to digest. That's a hell of a lot to digest. So let's go way back. You said you got in entrepreneurship in 2012.
Yeah.
Over a decade ago now. How old were you then?
I'm born 91. So 2012, 21 years old.
21 years old, and yeah. You said you got started in the MLM space.
MLM, yeah.
How was that? Because you didn't really touch that much on that.
Yeah. So I'm. I will say, I don't have. I'm gonna trigger some people right now. I'm not the biggest fan of the network marketing industry. I'm not the biggest fan of MLM. It's not because I think there's anything wrong with the business model. It's a legitimate business model. I know some people call all MLMs pyramid schemes. That's not true. There's a difference between MLMs and pyramid schemes. With that said, there are things that I appreciate about it. And I do think it's a legitimate business model. So anyone who is doing network marketing, who's watching this, I'm not knocking you. The reason I'm saying that I'm not a big fan of the industry is for specific reasons that don't even apply to everybody in the industry. A big part of it is because it is just the way that a lot of the network marketing companies go about their marketing. I'm not a fan of, because a lot of times different companies can be very misleading, and they're, I don't think I have to really explain this. Even people who are in network marketing probably know what I'm talking about. A lot of different companies can be very misleading. That's not all companies, right? In how they market, in their message and all that type of stuff. Now, what I will say about it though, my experience with MLM is that there was a lot of benefit to it. It got me into personal growth and personal development, which I definitely needed big time. I would not have been able to build my business to like my own business to where it is now, had I not gone through the years of personal development that ultimately I went through as a result of being involved in MLM, because there's very much that culture that pushes you to go for personal development and to grow as a person and to take accountability and to, you know, work on your mindset and all that type of stuff. So it was definitely a very good crash course. It was from like 2012 to 2013. It was really a year or a year and a half or so that I spent, but that year made a big difference for me in terms of my development.
Did you make any money?
I did make some money. I made a little bit of money, but nothing. I spent a lot more money than I made.
I was going to say that. Was you in profit?
No, I was not in profit, because that was more my fault than it was the company's fault. I just was, like I said, I was a big time risk taker, and I just spent a lot more money just thinking that, you know what, I was just kind of high on my own hopes, aspirations, right? And I just thought for sure I'm going to be a year from now, 2 years from now, I'm going to be making 50K per month. It's all good. I can go and put money on this credit card and do this and whatever. And you know what? I was a young guy when you're early 20s, you're not as wise as you are when you get a little bit older than that. So I made bad decisions. So I spent a lot more money in that during that time than I made, but I did make some money. And ultimately, really what I walked away with that was more useful was skills. It did develop certain skills. It developed certain mindsets that were beneficial to me later, for sure.
So you did that for a year and a half. What eventually made you come away from that and try something else?
What actually made me get away from MLM was more so to do with the team that I was with and culture. And there was a certain toxicity that was there and stuff. And I just had enough of it and I couldn't be a part of it. So I ended up leaving. When I left, it awakened me to this whole entrepreneurship thing. And I realized that I wanted to be an entrepreneur, which is funny. It's funny that I needed that to awaken me, because the reason I say it's funny is because my dad's actually an entrepreneur. And so he has his own businesses. He has been doing his own business since I was like 13 years old. And because he got there was a recession going on, he got laid off from his job and all that. And then he just decided to go his own route since then. But I never really paid attention to what it was he was doing. And he also put a lot of effort to trying to sow the seeds inside of me and my siblings so that we will grow to be entrepreneurs or to do great things. I mean, even like little things. I remember when I was younger, he used to tell me, Zeki, when you grow up, are you going to be the person who's going around begging people, giving your resume, begging people for jobs? Or are you going to be the person who actually builds something and is handing jobs out to people? You need to be the second type of person. And I remember like all these little things. When I was a kid, we used to have this sign. He made this like printed out the sign that he put on the wall of our house inside that said, please make mistakes. That was a reminder that basically you'll never get in trouble. There'll never be issues if you make mistakes, because that's how we grow. All these kind of stuff to try and put the right mindsets in us. But I didn't really pay attention to it, because it's kind of like, you know, sometimes your parents tell you things, but it just goes one ear and out the other. And it doesn't really hit you until it comes from somebody else other than them. You know what I mean? I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. So that's kind of how it was for me. But when I got into 2012, when I got into the whole network marketing thing, it awakened that desire to be my own boss, to not live the typical work for 40 years, try and retire and then live on a percentage of what you made and all that type of stuff. I knew I wanted something more than that, which I guess when I look back on my life, I always wanted something more than that. But that awakened me to it. And so when I left, I was still looking for something. If you get what I mean, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. So at 21, before network marketing, did you have a job?
Before I got into network marketing?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I actually worked as a laborer on a tomato farm. And I come from, so I was in a city called Windsor, Ontario, Canada. It's on the border with Detroit. And it's actually known as the unemployment capital in Canada. And I think it's still the unemployment capital in Canada. It's one of the top cities for unemployment in all of North America. And the reason for that is it's very, very attached to Detroit in that it's driven by the automotive industry. So back in the day, Detroit had a hard hit with its automotive industry, where like 50% of the city moved out of, or it's something crazy like that. 50% of people who lived in Detroit moved out elsewhere because they had to go get jobs because it took such a hit. And Windsor's whole economy was designed to just support Detroit's economy. So when Detroit took that hit, Windsor took a hit. And most people were, a lot of people are unemployed, or if they had a job, they're working like labor or some blue collar job or something like that, that doesn't pay a crazy amount. So I was working on a farm, and I was actually working under the table. So I was working for less than minimum wage because it wasn't a legit job. It was like just, you know, hush hush type of job. So that's what I was doing before I got into network marketing. When I got into network marketing, that also opened my eyes to different things. And I realized that you know, if I want to build my own business, I should probably learn sales. So from there, while I was in the network marketing job, I actually transitioned. I still had a job at the same time while I was doing network marketing, and I transitioned into working in sales. I got a job at a call center. I started doing sales there. I was doing really well. Eventually moved on to other sales jobs and then became a sales trainer and all that type of stuff, which another thing is was a huge benefit for me even now, because I got all the sales experience as a result. But yeah, my background before was labor. Then I got into sales. Eventually, by the time that in 2018, where I talked about how I eventually left my job, at that point, I was working for a nonprofit and I was in management. So I was the Canada manager for this nonprofit organization. So I got to get my feet wet in different types of environment in the workplace.
Following network marketing, where did you go from there? Is that when you started Ecom?
No, it was a couple of years later. I tried a lot of different things, and most of the stuff I tried was not, didn't really do much with between that and Ecom. Like I tried to do, build a social media presence for like sales coaching and stuff like that, because I was doing the whole sales job and then started doing sales training. So I was trying to build my own sales thing on the side. I tried doing other stuff, building an online following. Interestingly, I don't even, there was this one, I did a webinar. I don't even remember what year it was. It was maybe like 2013, 2014. This was the first money that I made online, is I did this webinar, but it was for this other organization where they were doing training on like soft skills, leadership skills, communication skills and stuff. So this was after I had been working in sales for a bit. And then I joined on to host a webinar for them, teaching some communication and sales skills. And I actually made my first sales through a webinar, but I didn't really know what I was doing, so I couldn't replicate it again. I think I made like $200 or something like that. And I thought, I'm like, oh man, this whole sales coaching thing is going to work. But then I didn't really know what I was doing from a marketing perspective back then. So I couldn't replicate that. And a lot of those years that I spent in the middle too, I was reading so many books and I was spending so much time just consuming information, consuming knowledge, doing online courses, reading books. I think I read like 100 books in a year, but I wasn't actually putting much work in. I wasn't doing much to put it into practice. So needless to say, I didn't build anything, because I just was getting this dopamine hit from reading and reading and reading and thinking I'm making progress from all this personal development and growth I'm doing, but I wasn't actually doing anything to build a real business.
When did that realization hit? When you just thought, I need to actually get moving. I need to do something.
Yeah. I mean, as I started to get older, I started getting a little bit more serious about doing things. But when I would say I really got serious, honestly, is when that whole eviction thing started. Even before that, when I was doing the e-commerce thing, yeah, I was putting in work at that point. I was trying to make it happen, but it wasn't until I got that letter from my landlord and got to the point where that made things real for me, because up until that point, I never really dealt with something that urgent, you know?
Yeah. So that created the urgency you needed to really take the action that you needed to take. So in the e-com days, what kind of products were you pushing? I know you said they were drop shipping. Which that was around about the time when drop shipping was, that were the golden era of drop shipping, yeah. I think.
Yeah.
So what kind of products were you pushing by then?
Yeah, it was kind of so my strategy, I had taken a course that taught this strategy, is I was going really for like impulse type of buys, right? So I was testing different products in different niches. I had like one store where it was like Second Amendment type products, and then so that was like geared to America, obviously. I had another store that was geared toward, it was like in the niche of photographers. So I had like a lot of photography themed things, and it would be random stuff like jewelry, bunch of random products that I was just testing and seeing what it would be. But that was really the strategy. It didn't really matter to me what niche it was. It was just, I would choose niches where there was people who are passionate about it, and then try and test different things and see what they latch onto, which I was able to get sales, but I wasn't able to do anything profitably. And also a lot of the reason I wasn't able to do it profitably was really just because of my own lack of knowledge when it comes to marketing. To give you a simple example, I didn't do anything on the back end. I was actually trying to make all of my sales on the front end. I was trying to run Facebook ads, and then those Facebook ads directly get me sales. But even the people who bought, I never tried to sell them more things through email or something else like that, which I'm going to tell you from now a more experienced marketer's perspective, that was a really dumb way to approach it. Because the fact that I had certain products that I managed to break even on or get close to breaking even on the front end means that if I had just simply added back end to that with emails and other stuff to sell more things to people, I could have actually turned a profit and made it a profitable business. But it was because I didn't understand these things. I heard them from people. I heard people saying that you'll make more money on the back end. But a lot of times, especially when you're a beginner, you just want the shortcut. So you hear people talking about these things and you're like, no, that can't be it. There's some secret hack here and I'm going to figure it out. It can't be this simple thing that they're saying. And that was the way I was. So, which is why I wasn't able to build a profitable business at the time.
Did you enjoy doing it though? Did you enjoy learning about Facebook ads and building?
Yeah, I did enjoy it. And I picked up useful skills. I got really good at my targeting with Facebook ads, for example. I haven't ran Facebook ads now in a long time because Facebook just went crazy with banning accounts, and they've had me banned for now the past, like, I don't even know, 2-3 years. So I haven't even bothered. Plus I know people are paying an arm and a leg for Facebook ads anyways. But I did learn useful skills and I did enjoy it, aside from the fact that I was spending a bunch of money.
So yeah, coming from that, it's the middle of 2018. You've just handed that eviction notice. Well, the warning for the eviction notice. Were you living by yourself then?
No, I was with my, I lived with my family. So I'm the oldest of five siblings, and actually I was paying the rent and all that type of stuff, right? Because my dad has his own business. He was overseas and whatnot. I was grown. I was taking care of things. And I didn't tell my family. That's the crazy part, is I didn't tell my family that I hadn't been paying the rent, because I could have easily reached out to my dad and been like, hey, can you help me? Which now when I think back to it, at the time I didn't, because part of it was pride. And I think it has to do with when I was younger, I was always kind of in a way a black sheep, because I went down, like I had this whole good amount of my youth where, you know, I hung out with the wrong people. I got in a lot of trouble, a lot of, you know what I mean? So, I mean, we lived in the ghetto. We lived in the ghettoest area of our city. So you can imagine the type of people I got mixed up with. So I always had this reputation. People knew me, my relatives, everybody knew me as, you know, Zeki's the gangster, the black sheep of the family and whatever. So now that I had stepped up and I was taking responsibility, I had turned my life around. I wasn't hanging with those people. To me, it felt like if I went running for help, that it was like, it would be admitting defeat. And Zeki's still that same person from before. So it's kind of a pride thing, which I know that's a flaw in myself. But it was a pride thing a lot of the ways. And also part of it too was the fact that my dad was overseas. He's the type of business, he's old school business, right? It's not like us, our online stuff, where it doesn't cost us so much to do. But my dad has like real estate development. He had factory there and whatever that he was building. And I didn't even know if he was, I didn't know if he was profitable yet. I didn't know what the situation was for him. I didn't want to put more stress on him or anything with that. You know what I mean? So I was just like, you know what, I'm going to figure this out. Started asking around, managed to get some friends to lend me some money. So luckily I was able to get out of the situation, but I guess it was also that stubbornness in me that I'm like, I just have to solve this myself, which I could have made easier on myself looking back if I let go of some of that pride. But you know what? It worked out at the end of the day. So it's all good.
How did that feel though, receiving that noise?
Yeah, that was, I mean, you can imagine it was difficult, man. Because the big issue for me is like I said, I hadn't told my family. They didn't know that I was financially, like, I was kind of keeping this image up where things are okay. They knew I'm building a business. I was like, oh yeah, it's all going fine or whatever. But I wasn't telling them that I was actually spending the money that I should be paying rent on the thing. At the same time, since now this has been years into my journey, because I got started in 2012 and now it's 2016. It's not even just my family. Everybody around me who knew me knew that Zeki's this guy who's building a business. He's an entrepreneur. He's, you know what I mean? Like, he's trying to build this life. He has these dreams. It was to the point, I remember back in, I don't know how old I was, but this was in those early years, in my early 20s, where I tried to do a YouTube channel for a bit of time. And I did this one video where I said, by the time I hit 30, I'm going to be a millionaire. And that was like my calling, my shot, my declaration. And from the moment that I had done that video, for years, I had people that knew me from school. I had like some of my own extended relatives and whatever, that every time they saw me, they would make fun of me for it. And they come at me, hey, so have you reached that $1 million yet? And just kind of mocking me, right? So when I got that letter and I realized that letter meant that I had to shut down my business. It meant that I had to figure out how to avoid getting my family into this situation of this eviction and all this type of stuff and dealing with all that. So aside from all of that personal stress, it was also a failure of all these years, this reputation that I've been building, that people know that, oh, Zeki's going to build a business or whatever. And they've been making fun of me and they've been mocking me for it. It felt like they had won. And I couldn't give up, because then I would be admitting defeat and I'd be letting them win. At the same time, I wanted to give up because it had been so many years and it just felt like this was the last blow. And I didn't know where I was going to go from here. So I wanted to give up, but I couldn't give up because I knew that my only other option realistically was for me to finish school, which meant that I'm going to be just like every other broke student. I'm not making any money until I finish school at least, and then possibly maybe get a good job after that. Or if I try to get another job, I'm not going to get anything other than minimum wage or something like that. So it's not really going to help me at all. It's not even going to get me out of the situation. I wouldn't be able to make enough money to even get myself out of that situation that I was in with the rent and with the other bills that had been piling up. So it felt like it was a very hopeless situation in a lot of ways. But at the same time, I went into this place where I realized that either the situation was what it was, right? So either it could crush me or I could use the stress as a positive fire under my feet and actually do something. So I just chose to do the second way, really, because I didn't have any other option, because whatever I did, I was already in the situation. So it was just, I had to decide if I'm going to take this as I throw in the towel now and I give up, or I at least go down fighting. So it was difficult, but at the same time, I don't regret it so much. I could say I regret some of the stupid decisions I made, but all the decisions I made, good and bad decisions, led me to where I am now. So I don't really regret it.
Moving forward. You knew we had to sort something out. You knew we had to. You knew we had to get out of that situation. What were your first steps, apart from securing, obviously, some money from your friends to get you out of that situation? But what were your next steps moving from that to being able to pay them back?
Yeah. So, I mean, the next steps that I did didn't get me to the point of being able to pay them back quite yet. It just, what I started doing was I joined some Facebook groups. So like I said, I switched to affiliate marketing. I decided I was going to do things organically because I tried to do ads, didn't work out. So I joined a couple of Facebook groups. There are people talking about how they built their audience, how they started getting their first affiliate sales organically on Facebook. And so I just started putting that stuff into practice. And really what I was doing, I was kind of shooting things at the wall, just hoping something works, because I still didn't really know what I was doing. But I was just connecting with people on Facebook, getting into Messenger with them and having chat back and forth. And when people would bring up issues that they were going through with their business, then I would point them towards a software or something else or like a course that I had taken that could help them with that. So I made a couple sales in that month that were like a combination of courses, and I think some of it was software, that added up to over $1,000. And then from there, what I decided to do, and this happened quickly because I just was observing what other people were doing and I decided to do it myself, is I opened up a Facebook group. And it's actually the same Facebook group I have now. It just changed name and direction over the years. But initially when I opened it up, it was focused around affiliate marketing. And what I was doing was I was just documenting how I was going about growing my business, the things I was learning, the courses I was going through, what I picked up from them, what I put into practice, what worked for me, what I was still trying to figure out, so on and so forth. I also did interviews with people. So I brought on some of the people who I had purchased courses from or people who I was following and just brought them in to do interviews. And slowly as I was doing that, I started building my own audience until eventually when I got to December of 2018, I had been making money for the past few months. It varied month to month. You know, one month might be $1,000. Another month, I might make like $2,000. Then it goes to $1,500, whatever. It was different month by month, but I hadn't been able to save any money to actually pay my friends back. And it was a deadline. So I came up with a campaign because, again, I was very stressed out. I realized this deadline was approaching. That's when I launched my first virtual summit, which I'm actually right now, I have another virtual summit around the corner. That's actually happening in 3 weeks. But that was the first time that I launched a virtual summit. And the reason I did that, I mean, that's a whole story in and of itself. It will be way too long if I go into it right now, because we're already like, I think maybe 20 minutes or half an hour into this. But that campaign allowed me to hit my first 10K month off the back end of that. And that meant that I was able to pay my friends back, but also I had some money left over. And then from there, I realized after it was done, I sat back and I looked, because it came the end of the year and I had to put my accounting together to report to the government. So I started looking at how I did over the past couple months. And I realized that every month I was actually making an okay amount of money. And I started thinking to myself, you know, maybe I should leave the job and focus on this full time, because right now I can't focus on it full time. But I didn't, it took a while for me to pull the trigger on it. Like 2 months thinking about this, because I was very nervous about it. Because the way it felt for me, although I wasn't making a lot of money at my job, I at least had a for sure amount of money that was coming in every month. And then whatever I made through my business was on top of that. Me leaving my job meant that I was going to let go of that safety net and take this plunge. And then what if, you know, for me up until then, yeah, I had been making money, but I didn't really feel like I fully knew what I was doing. And it kind of felt like it was a fluke and I was just lucky. So I was worried that if I leave my job, what if the next month, all of a sudden, everything just collapses and I don't make any money? And it wasn't until I saw this one video from Sam Ovens, actually, and he was talking about focus and the importance of focus. And I don't remember exactly what he said in the video. He used an analogy and whatever, but watching that video made me think, hey, you know what? Right now I'm only able to focus like maximum, maybe 50% of my time into this online business thing that I'm doing. What if I, now that I've been making money for a couple months, if I leave my job and I can focus 100% on it, I should definitely be able to make more money. So I decided to take the leap. I decided to do it. And from then, I mean, I started very quickly. I started making more money with the full focus on my business. And I've been living full-time off of that ever since. And the business has been continuing to grow.
You had your first 10K month. You've now left your full-time job. You've come away from your stable income. And luckily, everything's gone all right. You started making more money inside your business because it's now got your 100% attention. What did your typical day look like back then when you had left your job?
Back then, it was very unstructured, honestly. It took me a long time to get my day more structured. And it's funny because a lot of people will say like, oh yeah, if you're an entrepreneur, they have this perception that as an entrepreneur, people have things figured out. And especially if they're actually making money and you're quote unquote successful, although successful, everyone you ask will have a different definition of what that is. But they'll be like, oh yeah, you wake up 4 a.m., you do this and whatever. Till today, my day doesn't look like that, by the way. I wake up every single day, I sleep in and I wake up when I want to wake up, unless I have something scheduled in the morning. But back then it was very unstructured and I did have to build discipline and structuring. That's what I find. One of the things that people don't anticipate, when they talk about wanting to be their own boss, is that you need to learn also how to be your own boss. Because if you're not a good boss in the sense of you can't get yourself to actually do stuff, then it's not going to last. Right. So I had to build that discipline. Now I'm at a place where I'm pretty disciplined with my daily schedule and stuff. But back then, I mean, my daily schedule wasn't something to model. I was also single at the time. So I would go to sleep at like maybe 4 a.m. if I wanted to. Sometimes if I was working on a campaign, I might go to sleep at 5 a.m. I start working on it at random times. One day I might be working in the morning. Another time I might start working on something at 9 p.m. I was just all over the place and random. Now it's been more years. I'm older than I was back then. So now I like to go to sleep earlier. I don't want to be up till 4 a.m. I don't know about, how old are you, by the way?
I'm 35.
So I don't know if you're like me, but now I'm 31 now. As soon as I start getting towards my 30s, I don't want to be up. I don't want to be awake past if it's midnight, I'm not staying up past that. I don't know about you.
Well, I'm from the UK, so it's 1 o'clock in the morning right now.
Okay. So I guess it's not the same, but for me, I want to go to sleep. So I learned to structure my day more. Now I have a pad that I use every day. And actually the night before, I write down what I'm going to do. I plan out my whole day the day before. And I also have a Google calendar. So any things that are scheduled are in there. So things are pretty structured for me now. But even with that structure, I try to be, you know, I try not to be too rigid. So because the whole point that I built my business is I wanted freedom. That's a big reason. So why am I going to run my business in a way that doesn't give me freedom? So although it's structured, I do it knowing that, you know what, like, for example, one rule for myself, I allow myself to sleep in. That's why I try not to schedule things too early in the morning, because I know that if I wake up, a lot of people say they work best in the morning. I'm actually very productive in the morning, but the problem is I'll also crash very quickly. So I know that I have to get enough sleep into the morning, or else I'm not going to be as productive in the day as I can. And everybody has different energy levels, so you really have to find that for yourself. And then now I just structure my day around those energy levels and around how I want my day to look. I know people who have the best energy in the morning. Other people work best at night. So other people during the day, you really just got to find what works for you and optimize based on how things are for you.
It was very unstructured. What was your income back then?
With at what point?
When you just left and gone full time.
Yeah, so it wasn't. I will make a disclaimer. I don't recommend everybody follows the model that I did. So I'm not saying this is a recommendation. So yeah, so back when I left my job was about 7 months into my journey with affiliate marketing. So it was fluctuating. You know, some months I hit like 1500, some months was 1000, some months was 2500, some months were more than that. That December I had a 10K month. So when I looked at the average of it, I don't remember exactly what the number was because it's very far back now, but I was probably making on average between like 1500 to 2 grand per month, maybe a little bit more than that on an average month when I actually left my job. So it was, for me at the time, it was actually a decent amount of money just because where I lived wasn't super expensive. My rent and was at the time geared income and stuff like that. So it made things a little bit easier for me. But what I would recommend for people personally, my recommendation for most people, and this is not everybody because everyone's not the same. So it's hard to give a blanket recommendation for everybody, but personally, like when I left my job, the reason also I was willing to leave it is like I said, I've always been a little bit more of a risk taker than a lot of people. You have to know your comfort levels, right? I felt pretty confident at that point, although I wasn't fully confident, it was still nerve wracking. I did feel pretty convinced that since for those couple months I had been consistent, if I focused 100%, then I can at least maintain, you know, where I was, if not make more money, which for me, that was enough money for me to survive. Like if I had a solid 2 grand per month, it's not like I would be living lavishly, but I would at least be okay. Right. For other people that might not be the case, because obviously my circumstances were influenced by the fact that I was living in cheap housing and I was single, didn't have kids to worry about, didn't have any other stuff like that. Now, if we compare that to me today, I live in downtown Toronto, completely different city, one of the most expensive cities to live in North America, possibly the world. I live downtown, which is like one of the very expensive parts of Toronto to live in. There's no way on that kind of income. And I'm also married, so it's not just me who's on the line. It's not the same thing, even though even back then I had my family, but it feels a little bit different when you're single as opposed to when you're actually married, having kids. Not yet, but you know what I mean. So I definitely would not leave, even if I was making money consistently at this point in Toronto. I'd have to be very comfortably at maybe if I was in that shoes again today and I'm like working a job and trying to get out, I probably wouldn't honestly leave my job until I was making like possibly like 10K or something like that. Cause you got to take into account taxes and all that. Right. So you really have to think about your own situation and your comfort levels, because I'm a person who's more comfortable with risk. There are other people who are very risk averse and they would break under that same pressure. So it's not a good idea for you to leave your job until you're in a place where you're very, very comfortable. I think, I know there's people who say for entrepreneurs that, you know, you need to hit rock bottom to explode or whatever. You need to get to a place where you need it. Just like how I went, got to the point of my eviction notice and whatever. I don't think that's true. I think for some people it does help. Like for me, if I'm honest, yes, it did help. It made me much more serious, but I don't think that's a very, very reliable model for the vast majority of people, because I think for most people, if they were put in a desperate situation like that, it's going to harm them more than it's actually going to help them get results. They're going to become very desperate. They're going to become very irrational in their decision-making. And they're going to do a lot of things, short-term things. They're just not going to help them with their business. So I think it's a much more sustainable and smarter model to have a job, be in a comfortable, at least financially, be in a comfortable position and build your business on the side until you're able to replace that income. And then when you're able to replace that income, you can do it, but you didn't do it in a way where you burned your boats and then you're just risking everything. And if it doesn't work out, you're bankrupt.
How long did it take to start increasing that monthly income with your business? And what did that look like?
Yeah. So when I left my job, I pretty much continued doing what I was doing for a little bit. And then later that year, I ended up launching the software. So I don't know if you're familiar with my software, Comment Funnels.
I'm 100% familiar.
Okay. Yeah. So a lot of people who know me through my software. So when I launched my software, obviously that like changed things a lot. I meant, for example, when I first did my soft launch, I did a campaign over the course of like 2 weeks, or it might've been 2.5 weeks. And I hit over, I think it was over $11,000. I don't remember the exact number, but it was like over $11,000 in like 2 weeks or 2.5 weeks. And that was the most I had ever made up until that point, with that amount, like in that short period of time. So that was the same year, but I launched it in September of 2019. So this is like February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September. We're talking 7 months after, right? My income had been growing before that through affiliate marketing, but it was growing kind of more gradually because I was just doing what I was doing, growing my group, naturally getting more people into my group, getting more people on recurring subscriptions for things that I was an affiliate for. But it was really when I launched my software where things started to blow up much faster. And even a few months after I launched my software, for example, I hit my first 30K month. So I made like 30K of sales in a single month, and I was selling lifetime subscriptions for my software. And I think that might've been when I opened up the partner program for it too. But yeah, so that helped increase my income. And then also then I started branching out into doing my own stuff. So now I do my own consulting. I do, I have other software that I've either partnered up with or that I've created myself. So I would say, to see a really meaningful increase in my income, it happened in, like, I saw an increase in my income within the first couple months, but it wasn't crazy. It was really when I launched my software. And it was just because also I was doing things differently, right? And that probably wouldn't happen as well if I didn't leave my job, just because I didn't have the time and I was thinking differently when I had put all that focus into my business over those couple months.
So let's talk about the software for a little bit. Comment Funnels. Where did the idea come from?
Yeah, so that really was birthed out of just a frustration of my own, which I think is a good way to come up with business ideas a lot of times. So since I was growing my audience and I was doing, for those who don't know what Comment Funnels is, you can check it out, commentfunnels.com. It'll give you a rundown of what it does. But basically, it automates the process. If you've ever seen those promotional posts people do on Facebook where they're like, hey, I've got such and such offer or such and such free giveaway thing, comment this keyword below and I'll get it to you. So comment funnels basically allows you to automate the process of responding to those comments. So the reason I came up with the idea was because I had been building my audience in my Facebook group. And sometimes when I did those posts, I got a lot of comments on it to the point that it just became really difficult to comment people back. And I was looking for a way to simplify that process. And I had asked other people if they knew of any softwares that did it. And at the time, there was no other softwares on the market that did that. So I decided, you know what, I can create one. And I knew that I can do a little bit of coding now, but I can't really code enough for a whole software. So, but I saw other people, I had known other people like Kim Dang, some people might know of, and Spencer Mecham, et cetera, who are not coders themselves, but they had hired other people to code softwares for them. And then they own those softwares, obviously, because they just contracted it out. So I figured that I could do the same thing, but I wanted to test it. And I wanted to make sure there were other people who needed it too. So that's why I mentioned how I did like a soft launch beforehand. I did a soft like pre-launch type thing for it to see if there was demand, if people would actually pay money for it. And I took pre-orders, sold a bunch of those. That also covered the cost for me of developing the software. And then I just got the software developed and then launched and had it from there. So basically what I did was a pre-launch, and I like to do this with offers a lot of times, and I'll do them in different ways many times, but what I didn't want to do, this is why I did it. Cause I didn't want to run into the problem where I invested a bunch of resources, time, money into developing a software that nobody's going to end up buying. So what I did, and I recommend when you're launching a product, you do the same thing, whether it's a software, even courses or other stuff, it's smart to do this. Is I came up with a campaign for a pre-launch. So basically I put together a sales page for the software, pitched the software, explained what it did and all that. And then I gave people the opportunity to purchase, do a pre-order, and they would get a special deal. So I gave them a lifetime. The software was going to be on a monthly subscription or yearly subscription. I gave them the opportunity to buy a lifetime deal on it if they pre-order by a specific deadline. So then I did a whole campaign with it. There was a little bit more moving parts to it because I also had like, in order to generate excitement and get traffic and all that, I did a giveaway contest. And so it would go viral and stuff like that, or viral to a certain extent, at least. So that's what I did. But the 30,000 foot view of it all is basically I put together a campaign to pre-sell the software before I even started creating it. I had the idea. I had already spoken to developers because I wanted to make sure the software was doable. So I had explained it to them. They told me that they could code it. They already quoted me the price on it and all that type of stuff. So then I went and I started selling it. Once I started getting some sales, that to me was validation of the offer. So then I went back to the developers. I'm like, okay, I give them the green light, started getting it developed. And then eventually, gave access to everybody. And when I sold them, they knew that they were pre-ordering. That's an important point, by the way, here. People should know they're pre-ordering, so they're going to get access to it at a later date when it's available. Similar to you can think of it like a Kickstarter campaign. You're basically kind of doing the same thing. So I did that with my software. I've done it with other things too, like courses, but in a different iteration. The way I do it with courses is, for example, like last month, in September, I hosted a program called Summit Sorcery. And that was a workshop where I taught people how to use summits to quickly build their own audience, and how I've done it in the past, how I put together a summit. And that's actually why I'm even doing part of why I'm doing my virtual summit that's coming up right now, is I just wanted to actually show them what it looks like in action. But last month I did this workshop, and the reason I did it was people were asking me for advice on summits. And I was like, well, there's a lot to it, and I would need to give you a whole course on it. So I decided I was going to record a course, but I didn't want to just record a bunch of modules and then try and sell it and then find out that, oh, I didn't even record the right things that people actually want or want to buy. So what I decided to do instead was I started pre-selling a live workshop. And so I came up with the concept, came up with the sales message for it, started putting it out there, started selling spots to the live workshop. We went live in September. Over the course of 3 days, I did the whole workshop. Then I took the recordings, and now I turned it into a course that you can buy from me. But by the time I created the course, I had already validated the offer. I had like 20 or 21 people or something like that who had purchased it already. And so now I know it's something people actually want to buy. I know that the sales message was working. I know that the all of the content in it was based on their questions. So I knew that it's actually what they want to know and what they need to know. So that way now the course, I know it's something that's going to continue to sell, and it is continuing to sell. I get sales of the recordings now. So that's how I like to approach offers in general. If I can validate it in some way before I actually build the thing, that's how I go about it. And I do the same thing. I did the same thing with my software.
From that pre-launch, soft launch, you did 11,000 in sales.
I don't know how much I did in the whole campaign, because it was a while ago now. We're talking 2019. I had to look in my back office and stuff, but I believe it was 2.5 weeks, and it was somewhere around 11K, maybe a little bit more than 11K in those 2.5 weeks. I think the campaign did go beyond it, but I don't know how much I made in the last part, because I did the campaign right before I booked a trip to go to Ethiopia, which is where my dad is from and where his business is and all that. So I had a very tight constraint for this little soft launch campaign that I was doing before I was going to leave. And I wasn't sure if I'd had good internet access when I was there. So it was something like 2.5 weeks, I believe, that I did 11K in sales before I had to bounce after that.
Did you have a mentor to walk you through the process of creating a software?
So for the software, I went through, Kim Dang has a course. I don't know if it's still around, if she still sells it. Not Group Convert. She had a course called Chrome Boss. But this was like back in like 2019 when I did it. So I went through some of the modules in there. It helped. Some of the stuff I just kind of did on my own, because I had already, like, in terms of hiring a developer and then giving them the instructions and all that type of stuff and coordinating it, I had already had experience with management, because that's background I came from with the nonprofit work. So I knew how to I knew how to kind of oversee that whole process. But in terms of some of the technicalities with creating software, yeah, I went through Kim Dang's course, and that helped me out. I don't know if it's still on the market. I don't know if she still sells it, but it was a course she had back in the day called Chrome Boss.
Going from that, how long did it take you to get your software ready for public release?
Took a while, man. I went through some issues actually with developers, and people who hire developers might run into this kind of stuff, but I had like developers dragging their feet and stuff like that, whatever. So it actually took me a couple months. I think by the time I actually got the software out to people was, I don't know how many months, it could have even been like 4 months or something like that. There were some delays. Yeah.
I don't think that's too bad. It's a software.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It was a simple software, so I expected it to be faster. Software does take some time sometimes, but it was a simple software. I was quoted that it would take less time than that. It just dragged on longer, but I think it was something like 4 months.
And you've done or been involved in other softwares since then?
Yeah, mostly like doing reseller stuff, or I also have another software that I put out called Content Spy, but that I haven't publicly released it, actually. It's just something that I've given to students of mine and as a bonus in different offers and stuff like that.
Did that take the same amount of time?
No, that one was much faster, because I actually, by then, so the Content Spy was a year ago, I think I created it. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot more experience by then. So I hired a really good developer, and he got it done for me very quickly.
Comment funnels, it's just a Chrome extension, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a Chrome extension, yep.
Very simple software that anybody can add to a Chrome browser on either Mac OS, Linux, or Windows. Obviously, needs a Facebook account to work, because that's where it runs. And it still works to this day, because I haven't used it in a very long time, I'll be honest, because... I'm not really that active on Facebook anymore, but still works.
Yep.
So there's been a lot of changes in the Facebook's user base and everything like that. Have you had to update?
Yeah, we have to all the time, man. Got to keep an eye. Yeah, Facebook's always changing things, so we always have to keep an eye on it and change things around. Things break. That's the norm with software, right? There's always going to be bugs that come up. There's going to be things you're going to have to deal with.
Where can people get that if they wanted that?
Yeah, they can just go to commentfunnels.com.
You've mentioned quite a few times. You've got a summit coming up. Did you say that was November 13th?
November 14th, yeah. So basically, you can get the details, by the way. Anyone who wants the details, you can just go to my website, zeki.co/summit. So make sure you spell my first name right. ZEKY.co/summit. That'll take you straight there. But basically what it is, on November 14th to 18th, I'm bringing together 16 entrepreneurs. They have a combined following of 3.2 million fans and hundreds of millions of dollars in sales under their belts. They're going to be doing full out trainings on their areas of expertise, specifically to help you with building your own following online and building a passionate cult-like following that you can also monetize and use to fuel your business. And it's geared specifically to people who are selling more information type products. So, you know, affiliate marketers, course creators, coaches, consultants. If you're selling something different, you will be able to still benefit from it. I would say also service providers actually would be perfect for it. So agency owners and so on. But if you're selling other things, you can definitely will get a lot of things you can benefit from. But those are the type of people that we're really focusing our training on. It's free to attend. And again, it's from November 14th to 18th. So you can go check out the website. I'm sure there'll be a link somewhere around the video.
Yeah, there'll be a link in the description to all Zeki's social media, the summit offer page and your website as well. That'll be all in the description below.
Cool.
So if that's an interest of you, pop down to into the description box, get yourself signed up. And it does look like an interesting lineup. So the 16 people.
Yes.
16 world-class entrepreneurs, as you've described it, with over 3.2 million fans and hundreds of millions in sales. How did you get them to sign up for this summit?
Well, I reached out to people. I've been in this game for a couple of years, so I've been able to build relationships with people. All of these folks, for the most part, one of them is someone that I didn't personally know, but he's a big name in the space. Brendan Kane. I reached out to his team, and
that's the one that I wanted to know.
Yeah, so I had to pester the team a little bit to get him, but it was definitely worth it, because he's awesome. I can't wait for his session. He's actually is a consultant to Taylor Swift, Rihanna, you know, MGM Studios, Paramount. He's built his own massive following online as well, over a million fans. Just as the funny thing is, he did it just as a social experiment. In 30 days, built his own following online of over a million people, just as an experiment to show that he can do it, because he had been doing it for celebrities up until then and not for himself. So it's going to be fun having him on the summit. The rest of the speakers are people who I've personally known over the years. Some of them have been personal mentors or friends. People I bought things from, people I've been in their communities, they've been in my communities, et cetera. All of them are people that I can vouch for that have a track record. And if you search them online, you'll find their track record. So it's going to be pretty fun, man.
Yeah. I'm really shocked. I was really shocked to see Brendan's face on there.
I've been getting that comment from people a lot. They're like, how the heck did you get him?
Yeah. That's exactly what went through my head. Like, how? Impressive. Like I said, if anybody who doesn't know who this guy is, Brendan Kane, Zeki is right. He literally did do a social experiment in 30 days to see if he could build up his own Facebook page to 1 million followers, to which he succeeded. He, following that, brought out a book which covers his process of doing that. And following that, he has recently come out with another book called Hook Point, which I presume probably be covering in his presentation in your summit.
Yeah. So his session is going to be focused around the stuff from Hook Point.
So your Facebook group, what's it called?
How to Start a Cult. Yeah. So we got 5,000 members close to, I think we're at like 4,800 or something like that. So yeah, you can find it on Facebook. Just search How to Start a Cult. But a much easier way for you guys to find the Facebook group is just go to cultbuilders.com. That link will take you straight into the Facebook group. You can join it. Make sure to answer the questions or else you won't get approved. And then from there, you can see all the shenanigans of what we do in there. It's not like most Facebook groups. It's a wild place.
is that essential to be part of the group, that have got to answer the free questions?
Most of the time. I might let some people through sometimes, but usually if someone didn't answer the questions, I'm just going to assume they're a spam bot.
Your website, zeki.co, what can people find there?
I mean, it's just general information there about me, to be honest. I need to do a little bit more work on the website because I don't use it so much. But they could just find out information about me. They'll find a link to the group there as well. Best place to connect with me, really, though, is inside my Facebook group. And when you join, you can provide your email, too, because I email my list. But those are the two best places to connect with me is my group and my email list.
Awesome. Awesome. So is there anything else you would like to talk about?
No, I think that's it, man. I know it's ridiculously late for you, so we'll clip it here. I think we talked about everything. It was definitely enjoyable. I like having these conversations. I like sharing my story. I like chatting with other entrepreneurs because, you know, a lot of times in your everyday life, you don't get to interact so much with entrepreneurs all the time, especially post-COVID. I moved here to Toronto in the middle of the pandemic, and we had some of the toughest restrictions of anywhere in the world. So I actually didn't get to meet so many. I didn't get to go to like marketers events or things like that to meet people that are in the same space. So I like connecting with people online and doing these podcasts and stuff because it's a good opportunity to talk to people who are on the same wavelength.
There's one piece of advice that I could give you on yourself, say like age 18, 20, maybe 21 when you started the entrepreneurial journey. What would that be?
One piece of advice, I would say, just focus on the long game, really. I feel like in terms of your perspective, if you can have more of a long-term focus, and I know this sounds very stereotypical, but I think most people don't actually implement it and they don't fully get it because a lot of what I see people doing and how they sell and how they behave is because they're very, very desperate to make money. And it's not just their behavior, but it's even in their thinking, their comparisons. Like, for example, you'll see, I've seen people complaining where they're like, you know, I see all these other people that came into the space. They're newer than me. They're making so much money. They're doing this, they're doing that, whatever. I don't know why it's not working so well for me. The way that I look at things, like, yeah, now I'm happy with where my business has gotten to. There have been times where I wasn't happy, even when I was making money, because I was comparing myself to other people. I was looking at people who are pulling like $100,000 per month, and they might have been in this game for less time than me. But then when I actually rationally look at what they're doing in their business, they're not running their business in a way that I want to be running my business because I value different things than they do. I want more time freedom. I want different things. They have calendars that are filled with people nonstop. I don't want to run my business like that. So what I always remind myself is it doesn't really matter to me. It's not about where I am this year. It's not about where I am next year. It does matter. The short term does matter, but what I'm really playing this game for is where I am 20 years from now and where I'm going to be 30 years from now. And it goes way beyond this internet marketing thing that I'm doing. I feel like when you start out, it's very easy to be very short-term focused because you have this strong need for money for a lot of people. Not everybody starts out because they need money. Some people want something else out of it. But like for me, when I got started, for example, I needed to make money. So I wasn't thinking where I'm going to be in 10 years because I could care less about that. I needed to figure out how I was going to make money this month, next month, et cetera. Now, as I get older and I'm further along in my business, I'm thinking about where I want to be, where I want, you know, the legacy I want to leave. What I actually want to be doing. And this stuff that I'm doing right now with this internet marketing and everything, I love what I do. I geek out when it comes to marketing. So I enjoy what I'm doing, but this to me is really a stepping stone in a much larger grand scheme of things and actually building a legacy, building generational wealth, doing things that are beyond just this little tiny world of internet marketing or coaching, affiliate marketing and whatever. And I think a lot of people, there's a lot of different ways you can just benefit if you sit down and actually think about where you want to be in 10 years, what you want your life to actually look like. And from that, decide how you want to build your business. Because just because you see other people doing things a certain way, like I get all of these messages from people all the time that promise to help me, you know, they're going to give me an appointment setter who's going to book my calendar full of calls, 6, 7, 8, 10, 200 calls per day, and I'll never have a free moment to myself. I don't want that. The whole point that I built my business was so that I can have a free moment to myself anytime that I want. I can spend time with my wife. I can spend time with my kids when I have kids. I can enjoy my life. That's why I built my business. And I'm not knocking anybody who wants to have their calendar filled. That's totally fine. You're not me. So you can build your business how you want, but I don't want to jump on sales calls. I actually don't jump on sales calls. I never jump on sales calls. I'm not opposed to it if maybe like once in a while, but I just haven't found that I have the need to jump on sales calls. And I don't want to. So, and that all goes back to the how I want my life to look. So you have to really think what's priority to you, what matters to you, how you want to spend your time, and then build your business in a way that coincides with that, when you get mentors, seek mentors who are living the type of lifestyle and who have the type of business also that you want. Just because they're making money doesn't mean they're doing it in the way that you want to do it. So prioritize, like think deeper about things is basically what I'm trying to say. Think deeper about things, have more of a long-term perspective, and stop just chasing, like ending the chase just at the money. That's a piece of advice I would give.
Awesome. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
One last question I would like to ask you is, how would you like to be remembered?
How would what?
How would you like to be remembered?
How would I like to be remembered? That's a question I'm still answering. To be honest, I'm still a young guy. I'm still answering, but I will say a couple things. And this is not the grand scheme of it, but when I'm looking, even what I'm doing in my career right now is like, yeah, I have my Facebook group, I have my audience, I'm doing the internet marketing things, but really what I want to accomplish and what I will accomplish, and this is going to be over the span of 20 years from now, whatever, staying consistent at it, writing books and all that, is I'm not going to say the next anybody, because I don't want to be someone else. I'm going to be Zeki Ahmed, but the next generation of marketers will be reading my books, just like we read Gary Halbert and Dan Kennedy and all those guys. That's only in the career side. Now there's other things with that. There's when it comes to my family, there's other aspects of life where I want to leave a legacy, but that's in this little scope of what we're talking about. That's where my eyes are.
Well, thanks for coming on the podcast.